All right, everyone, welcome back to the Ramped Podcast. Today we have a special guest with us. It's Dr. Sandy Fiaschetti. Sandy, how are you?
I'm great. How are you, Danny?
I am doing well. I'm doing well. We are happy to have you here. I know you come highly recommended from one of our mutual friends, so we're so pumped to be chatting with you. I want to dive in on so many things with you. You are an expert in what's going on in the talent market, in job search, and careers, and telling stories about your career, etc. So we're honored to be with you. Before I jump into all of those strategic and tactical questions, the audience needs to know, who is Dr. Sandy Fiaschetti?
All right. Well, I'll start with who I am as a person, right? I am a wife and mom to 5 grown kids. I'm a business owner of Lodestone People Consulting. I hail from Metro Detroit originally, but find myself in Dallas-Fort Worth. And I am the managing partner of Lodestone People Consulting, who does, consulting for the talent space. So glad to be here because I think that's a good fit for your audience.
Absolutely, absolutely. We seem to align on certain things that I would love to jump in with you on. And like you, I escaped the Midwest to come to a warmer climate. So we have that in common as well. So let's jump in. Talk to me. Now we are sitting here mid-November 2023. We've been through 3 years, 3.5 years of craziness in the talent market, talent space. Mm-hmm. People have lost their jobs, found jobs, lost their jobs again. And now we're in this grind to the bottom, it feels like. From your perspective, what's going on with the macroeconomic climate in terms of the talent space, and is there an end in sight?
Well, that's a big question, but I think I've seen enough to know we go in waves, right? It's the company's market, it's the job seekers market, it's back to the company's market. This may sound heretical, but I sometimes just don't pay attention to those big trends and think about, what can I control? What can any one person control? And, just equip yourself for that without even worrying about some of that big picture. That's maybe not what you were expecting, but.
No, I like it. I like it. Reject the premise and go with what works for you and what you've seen is a great response. And frankly, as a business owner myself, I've trained myself to do that as well over these last few years. Is there's only certain things you can't control. Everything else is really just, you got to keep it out of sight, out of mind. And that's really true with the job search today. We hear a ton of pain today in the job market and job search, and folks, apply to hundreds of roles, they get rejected or even just get no answer, ghosted, or whatever you want to call it these days. I'm curious to know, what's step one for job seekers in today's climate? How do they prioritize themselves and just get even started with what's going on today?
Well, I think hopefully step one is taking place before they're even looking for a job. I always tell people, always be looking, because the companies certainly are looking for their own optionality in terms of what they're going to do, right? So I think step one is building a true and authentic network, and cultivating it, because if you only are calling people when you've got that green open for work swoosh, that's not the right time to be calling people.
By the way, you'll see me mute and unmute. I don't want to pick up any background noise. That is really, really good perspective. The job search or kind of taking care of your connections, your network, is a lifelong skill. And it's something that you never know who could come back around to you in the future, right? If you build connections, make your network work for you, you may find that somebody you worked with 10 years ago that just even really liked talking to you could be a door opener for you later in your career. And you never know when that happens. I've seen crazier things than folks who I spoke with, 10 years ago, now working for people that they managed. So you never know what's next around your career. I'm curious to know, folks put so much pressure on themselves in the early stages of their career. They have to do everything right. They have to work at the right place. They have to do the best, you know, at that place. What can you tell our early career audience about that first job or first few jobs that is and isn't important when you're coming up in your career?
All right. Well, you're giving me this flashback to a handful of years ago. I gave a graduation speech to high schoolers, and I think some of those points apply here. I think the first thing is getting over this, I think, false notion that there's one best college to come from, one best, you know, first place to start your career. Even so, I guess I'm rejecting your premise again, Danny, right? It's like, what are the perfect things to do in those first couple steps? I think take the pressure off yourself and don't believe there is a perfect path you have to follow. Now, that being said, in whatever those roles are, I think it's always going to come back to competencies like initiative, like a learning orientation. And I say, I know that from the research of our field, which is work psychology. If you're demonstrating an orientation toward learning and a humility and initiative, I don't know that you're going to go wrong. It's less about knowing a particular set of skills, unless you're like Liam Neeson in Taken or something like that. It's more about, you know, always learning, because whatever the software is you learned in college or whatever the technique, it's dead by the time you get in a job a lot of times.
Yeah, it's a good point. The world is changing. Tech is certainly changing. I am obviously in tech, so I've seen so much change since my start in late 2009 or early 2010. I am curious, using that same timeline. So a lot of folks we chat with now who are maybe on the second lap of their career, mid-career, now find themselves searching for work again. And the last time they were searching for work, transparently, was right around the time that I graduated school, that 09 post great financial crisis bust. What advice do you have for folks who are re-entering the workforce? And again, they don't even, most of these folks don't even know how to update a resume or how to apply to jobs in 2023. It's changed so much. It's not mail your resume around to 100 different companies like with snail mail. Now it's auto apply through LinkedIn to 100 jobs, use a one click button on Indeed, and then shoot your resume off to hundreds of employers. Like, what advice do you have for folks to find themselves back on the hunt again?
A couple of pieces. One goes back to that learning orientation, right? Like, get out there and learn. Be willing to say, maybe it's even to your kids, right? Like, help me figure this out. Help me figure out how to do this. Some things to me are just like the super easy things to fix. Like, I sometimes see resumes with Hotmails. I mean, just please kill that. Apparently Hotmail still works, but and Yahoo.com still works. But if you want to date yourself on your resume, that's the way to do it. For God's sakes, get a Gmail at this point. So that's a super easy one.
You said it on me. I don't know if I can say that.
You're getting the unfiltered. You didn't know, but that's what you're getting, because I mean, that's just nonsense. You might as well like put your age on there. Plus, it signals that you're not willing to move and change and learn and grow, because you're holding on to this. It's like holding on to, I don't know what, feathered hair or a comb over or something. Like, let it go and be current on some of that stuff. Now, content-wise, substantively, as you're re-entering the workforce, sometimes people have had a gap. And I always say jobs are about filling a role that has tasks that require a certain set of competencies. And competencies are transferable. So if you were sitting at home for 5 years managing a household, there were competencies you were learning and competencies you were demonstrating, right? You know how to budget. You know how to manage a timeline. You know how to handle stress. I would say take the time to think over your last, whatever it is, you know, 3 years, 5 years, 7 years. And they don't have to be all work experiences, but begin to build a repository of your life stories, your life successes against certain competencies that we know are going to pop for whatever role. So like anticipate, is this job more about teamwork or about independent decision making? And then get your story ready for that. And when I say get your story ready for that, I'm from Detroit. I say, think of it like a car. What's the circumstance? What was your action? And what's the result of it? And if you can tell a story in that way, a lot of, you know, that's not me making that up, right? A lot of behavioral structured interviews kind of follow that. Some people call it a star. But get those stories ready. And it's okay that they're ready, right? Nobody's going to think like you made it all up, because a good interviewer is going to be able to dig and realize it's real. But that's some of what I would do to prepare.
Yeah, nice.
After changing the Hotmail.
Yeah. Hotmail's first. We teach STAR over here, so that rings really true for us. And storytelling is just critically important, not just even for interviewing, but for your life and how you interact with folks at work or at home. People learn best when they hear it in a story form. We've been told stories our entire life, so it's just natural. So I'm curious to know what makes a good story for a job seeker, or even for somebody who is just out of job seeker status and got that new job, or someone later in their career and wants to tell the story about how to get promoted. Like, what are some of the key tenets of a great story about you and your career?
Well, definitely I'd use that car or star format, right? You want to think about a story that was impactful. I always think about the opposite of it. My husband talks about someone he interviewed, and he said, like, what's your biggest life success? And the guy was like, when I learned how to ride the riding lawnmower. Maybe pick a different one than that. But like, what's a higher impact thing that you've experienced in the competency of teamwork, or in the competency of decision making, or, you know, whatever, they can be leading others. So high impact, recency is important. If it's the more recent it is, the better it is to bring to an interview. Our old stories can be great, but the best predictor of success in the future is success in the recent past. And so the more you can bring those in, the better. And of course, if they're work related, like the more similar they are to the situation you're trying to fit into, the better it is. I believe, and the research is clear, that competencies transfer, but it just makes it easier for the listener, the interviewer, to understand, oh, this story fits my need, without you having to, you know, connect all the dots for them on it.
Yeah, really good. I find, and tell me if you agree on this one too, I find that a lot of the story could be dictated by folks simply reading the job description thoroughly, and then going to the hiring manager's online profile sources and figuring out or gut checking, hey, does this job description match up with some of the things that they're sharing? Does it match up with some of the things that they talk about openly? And how do I fill the gap for this person? You know, it's really like not that complicated. It's just taking a little bit more time and putting the dots together for why is this company hiring this position at this point in time? And am I really the right fit for it?
Yeah, 100%. It's, you know, you read some of those bullet points and then you think, when have I done this? And then go blow out that car or star story. When have I done this? And be ready to tell those. And, you know, most people want their own pain points dealt with, right? So if you start to think, what is the gap? What is the pain point? Why do they need this role filled right now? Then just tell a bunch of stories about how you can fill that.
Yep. 100% right. 100% right. Moving on to some more tactical things. Mm-hmm. So what are a few things that you are excited about in today's talent climate, job search, that can give folks some quick and easy wins when they are either on the hunt or just took a new role, et cetera?
I will tell you what I'm really excited about, and I hope it fulfills the last part of that statement. I'm excited that a lot of companies are getting finally on the train of knowing that just like we have science for finance and just like we have science for other roles, there is human capital science. And the armchair sit and, you know, ask unstructured questions to learn about a person and would I have a beer with this person? It's still happening, but it's going by the wayside because companies are realizing these are talent bets, these are talent investments, and we better get on board with some science. Naturally, I'm excited about that because I have a firm that does that, but I'm also excited because it's leveling the playing field in terms of diverse candidates. Because if you, say, put a wide variety of people into a business simulation, let's say, like a flight simulator for a pilot, but for people applying for jobs, everyone gets to demonstrate what they can do. Everyone gets to answer those emails, gets to do a fake coaching call. And data doesn't lie. Kind of like the ball, you know, like data don't lie. And it's going to level the playing field. And it is leveling the playing field. So it's no longer, you know, frankly, the privileged white man who has a sales personality and can spin a good tale who's going to get the job. It's going to be whoever truly is best for the job. And that thrills me.
Yeah, it's amazing. I would love to dig in at least a little bit. I'm sure you could talk about it for a while, but I would love to dig in on how you bring that science or data forward in your discussions with companies and individuals. And I know it's something that we're really passionate about. You know, a lot of the reason that we founded this company and founded Ramped was we want to democratize access to jobs and make it instead of even what you're putting on a piece of paper, we want to bring skills and upside potential and generally just who you are and what you could be versus what your picture looks like and what you wrote down on a snapshot. So we're very passionate about that. And I want to hear your perspective on how you bring some of that to the workforce today.
Yeah. Most of where we do it is in leadership space and executive space, but I do still think it applies across the board. We start by asking our client kind of what's your business thesis, if you will. What are the three big levers you need pulled that this role and other roles will have to pull? Often it's things like, you know, grow the company, you know, however, grow in adjacencies, whatever it is. A lot of times it has to do with creating process or being operationally sound. And a lot of times it has to do with growing and leading a team. Not always, but usually those are some of the, you know, some version of those are the big levers. Yep. Then we wire in assessment underneath that. And what I mean is if you're looking for someone to grow through adjacencies, here's the personality characteristics research tells us that they need to have. Here's the competencies they need to have. And then we go measure them through the business simulation, through leadership or through leadership styles, personality, through interviews that are structured. So then we come back to the client with, I know you said this is what you wanted. Here's a red, yellow, green of this person against those three levers. And here's the double click of, here's why we say that. Here's their competencies, red, yellow, green. Here's the personality profile. You want a chief revenue officer, and you've just shown me someone who has an operational profile and is introverted. Or you want a chief revenue officer, and this person is great at the extemporaneous talking. And but when you say you want them to build the process, you want them to build out how people use Salesforce, they don't have that capability. It doesn't mean don't hire them. It means we ask more questions like, does that exist in the rest of the organization? Is there someone who can do that? Or it's that person's next hire, you know, to build a complementary team. So that's how we bring the data.
Love it. Love it. Really good insight there. One more for you before we end with our final question that we've asked all our guests.
Okay.
So you've got a large variety of perspectives. It sounds like you've met with massive organizations, small organizations, folks who are in executive positions, job seekers. What is the one thing that you gravitate towards when you assess the human behind the employer, behind the job seeker? What is the most important thing for folks to think about as they're going through a journey on their career?
Authenticity. So many times people either move and behave out of fear or out of love and confidence, just fundamentally. And if you're in a place of fear in your job searching and you're feeling like, I gotta get a job, I gotta get a job, you're not gonna show yourself well. And you're going to go after things that aren't a great fit for you. And I promise you that getting a job that isn't the right job for you is not a win, even though it feels like a win in the short term. And so it's okay to go to realize, even after an interview, this is not the place for me. And don't sell yourself as something you're not, because when you're not going to keep that up. And when you get in, you're going to be disappointed. They're going to be disappointed. Just, give the process time and be true to yourself, and you will end up in the right role.
Yeah, it's really solid advice. As somebody who has been in a few roles that have not been the perfect fit for me, it doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good for even 1 second while you're there, if you're in that wrong role. So, really good advice. Authenticity is, it's certainly something that I look out for as a hiring manager and as somebody who is building a company. And it isn't super easy. Sometimes people don't know who they are until much later in their career. So
Great point.
it's something to work at, right? Like when you're early in your career, some people don't. I'm sure I didn't either. Like know exactly who I was and what I'm all about. So it's hard to find and it's hard to assess and be on a journey where people are trying to figure that out. But I do love the build and find folks with who kind of lead with love and confidence. That's really cool. All right. Would love to chat with you for hours. You have so much to share, but we have to end. We end on this note. Now that you have the benefit of hindsight, if you could go back to the beginning of your career, what advice would you tell yourself?
I definitely would tell myself to read all emails before hitting send, but I think the bigger thing is to say no to some opportunities. For me personally, I feel like I was always saying yes to the boss. I would take the trip that left on my anniversary. I would, stay late. And I think there really is something to that whole, like, I don't even see that boss anymore. That person is not in my life. They're certainly not meaningful in my life. Would my career have gone down in flames if I said no to that trip or to whatever? I doubt it. I'm not saying, live in some cush environment where, you're never going and doing those things, but I wish I would have said no, to more of the kind of jumping through hoops things that I got asked to do early on.
Yeah, that is really a skill. That's something that people need to work at. And it's great advice. You don't have to say yes to every single thing. But some of it just won't matter, especially like even months out from when you said yes to it. Well, Sandy, this has been a great conversation. I've truly enjoyed getting to know you and the way you think and the way you have guided our audience has been really impressive. Where can folks find you and connect with you?
I would love to connect with people on LinkedIn. I'm pretty active on there. They can find, a way to get to me through Lodestone for sure, but LinkedIn is definitely the best way to connect with me. And I love that, by the way. Like, I love connecting with people. Sometimes people are like, oh, I didn't realize you could, I can do a meeting with you. Career advice. I mean, maybe not 5,000 people, but
So good, so good. Yes, LinkedIn is one of the best. They're still innovating and a great way to connect with people. So thanks for offering that up. Well, Sandy, this has been a really great discussion. Truly, truly appreciate your appearance here, and I know our audience is going to love this episode. So thank you. We hope to have you back someday on the Ramp Podcast.
You're welcome. Good to see you, Danny.